Welcome to another edition of the Farm Forward podcast on WITYradio.com. Today we go to Oakland High School and talk with their advisor Nick Turner, President Rachel Warman, and reporter Dakota Hall about what the Oakland FFA has been doing. Talk with Rachel and Dakota about their career aspirations and how they're looking to help grow the program and some of the challenges that they see as part of being a smaller school. We dive in with the Oakland FFA chapter next on the Farm Forward podcast after a word from our sponsor, Head Honchos.
We are facing a severe labor crisis in agriculture, but thankfully there's a solution. Hard workers are available via the H-2A visa program, but that program is hard to navigate on your own. Whether you need one or two workers or need a whole crew, Head Honchos does all the hard work for you. Contact owner Todd Miller, 210-695-1648 for your free, no obligation H-2A visa labor consultation today or online at headhonchosllc.com.
Welcome to the Farm Forward podcast. Chad Baker, courtesy of the Roofing Dog Mobile Studios today from Oakland High School. Today I've got Nick Turner, their advisor and ag teacher here, their president Rachel Warman, and reporter Dakota Hall talking with us about the Oakland chapter. And for folks that may not know the geography of where we're talking about here, they're kind of in a Tri-County area. In fact, Tri-County is the sports co-op that they have with Kansas High School as well as with Shiloh High School. And they are nestled in that region between Coles County, Edgar County, and Douglas County, and that creates that Tri-County co-op. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for having me here today. It's great to come out and break away from the office for the day. Rachel, we'll start with you. Tell us about Rachel Warman.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm the president of the Oakland FFA chapter. I started FFA like my sophomore year. I'm a senior now. I wasn't interested in FFA at all until I joined one class because I needed to. And then after that, it was just like full on, head in, and from there on, I just started doing everything. I started taking up offices, and then now I'm president.
Very good. What about your presidential duties do you enjoy?
Definitely like telling people what to do. That's something I've always
done. Is honest and she's make no bones about it. That's perfect. Okay. So you like being in control. You like to have that element of control. What has been some of your high water marks for the year? Is there some goals that you were able to achieve to make this year memorable for you and to leave your mark and your legacy with this chapter?
A goal of mine this year was just to get the chapter more involved because, like, we've just, like, started doing more. Mm-hmm. And so one of my goals was just to have everyone doing something and not have just the officers doing something. It's to include the chapter, too.
How has that been? Has it been pretty easy to get folks to want to be involved and to do some of the projects that you're looking to do?
Yeah, it's been pretty easy. We have a lot of freshmen that are wanting to do stuff, but then seeing them wanting to do it makes, like, the seniors want to do it because they're like, why are these freshmen upstaging us? Mm-hmm. So those freshmen, they've really helped.
So Rachel, did you grow up on a farm? Tell us about your ag background and what led to this.
So my grandpa, he has a farm. It's grain production, corn, soybeans. I kind of grew up around that. He lives right next door, like 5 steps. So I grew up around all that. I wasn't heavily involved, but I did ride in the combine tractors.
Sure.
I've wanted to do more with it, but I've been busy with FFA and school and all that.
And are you looking for a career in agriculture once you get done with school?
Yes, I am going to Oklahoma State University, and I'm going to major in ag education. So I'm going to hopefully become a future ag teacher and ag advisor.
Wow. Going for the big school there, the Cowboys.
Yep.
Very nice.
I'm really excited. It's a great school.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I like how you just took control. You took the microphone, and it's obvious that you've interviewed people before because you did a good job of putting the microphone back to me where I was asking questions. Let's meet Dakota Hall. Dakota, you're the reporter. Let's learn about Dakota and your history in ag and what has led you to this point.
So I'm just like Rachel. I did not want anything to do with FFA until my freshman orientation. Turner came up to me and my parents, and he said, "You're doing FFA?" And I said, "Heck no." I said that my anxiety was too bad. I was never really big to get out of my comfort zone, and the thought of being around chickens all day was not appealing. But after careful consideration and conversations between Turner and my president, it helped me gain the confidence of thinking that it was okay to try new things. So I did. I took that leap, that step forward, and I decided that I would be involved in FFA. And our president, Rachel, helped me also do more CDEs and be more involved in classes and all the activities.
Well, I think we all want to know, at any point did you ask if the chickens had large talons? Are you too young to get that reference?
Maybe.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, I don't know.
No.
I don't know anything about that.
Okay. That's a sign that I think that generation is starting to age out, and they may need to go and make a visit to the doctor. So, needless to say, a movie character, he was also involved in FFA out in Idaho, I believe.
I was telling Turner, we should show the clip of him drinking the dairy for our dairy CD, but we never...
The egg wash.
Yeah.
Very good. Absolutely. So what CDEs are you into? What have you gravitated to in your time in FFA?
I'd probably say that my favorite is horticulture. My very first time, I went to fill in for a friend who was unable to go. And ever since then, I've kind of been more into it, and I've liked just being involved in it.
Very good. And your career aspirations, what are you looking to do after you get out of school?
I haven't really decided. I want to be a marine biologist or some type of doctor just to help people. That's just something I want to do.
And are you involved in any other organizations? You do a sport or other organizations at the school, other community organizations, stuff like that?
Not really. I was in FCCLA, but I took a step back from that this year.
I forgot to ask Rachel, how about you?
I'm part of student council. I'm the president of that. President of NHS. I'm part of math team, Scholastic Bowl. I'm part of so much.
Sure, you stay pretty involved here. So let's talk about the chapter, and we'll get Nick here in just a few minutes, but let's talk about the chapter, how many members you have, and where your strengths are as a chapter.
We have 82 members, and I think our biggest strength is being together, growing together. We do everything together because we're so small and we can get everyone. I think that is a weakness of ours, too, is being so small. Sometimes we have to scavenge for members to go to CDEs, to go to events.
About how many folks do you have to have for those events? You have to have a team that's willing to participate and willing to go and know what's going on.
We usually take 10, but we have to take less sometimes. We're lucky if we take 14. We've taken 14 before.
We'll drag Nick Turner, the advisor and teacher, in here. Welcome.
Thank you.
So we talked off air about how this area is situated between the three counties and how that can sometimes be a little bit of a disadvantage. We talked about 4-H not really having a strong membership here. You guys have a younger group that's kind of started back up here in the Oakland area, but just because of where you're located, that may pull some of your schoolmates in different directions. That may impact a little bit of what you guys do together as an FFA chapter, but how are you navigating through that?
Yeah, so we are growing. We've recently just had the manager at Coles County. She's really put in quite a great effort. Her name's Kristen Iverson. She's really started doing well. There's some parents here in the area. They've started up the 4-H again here in Oakland. It's more young group as of right now, starting to trickle into the high school as we get up into junior high and all of that. And I've got, I think, a freshman and maybe a sophomore in the 4-H program. So it's starting to come back, which is great. I love how hand in hand, the FFA and the 4-H work together. I think that it is a community that brings leaders together like nothing else. So it is starting to grow again, but I think it did have some dormancy areas and time here in the last 5 to 10 years, but they're really starting to uptick in that. And I'm hoping that in the next 5 years, we see a large gradual growth in the 4-H. And then we've seen a large gradual growth in our FFA numbers. It went from about 20-ish active members 3-4 years ago. I started here in fall of 23. And we're now, as listed for our two ag classrooms, we're at 103 total active students and around 60 FFA members that are active. On a given meeting, we could have anywhere from 30 to 60 people. We've had up to 68 or 69, I think, in one meeting. Usually that first meeting at the beginning of the year, kids get really excited. They'll come in and everybody will be here. But as the year goes on, more things uptick with sports and other clubs and too much pressure of the actual school year going on. And so those numbers start to dwindle, but I would say consistently we have in between 40 and 50 here for most meetings. We started this year with what we called, I don't know if the gals had talked about it or not, but our fun meetings. That was one of Rachel's ideas this year was, okay, we have our business meeting during flex, but how do we get our friends together in an evening and after school opportunity? And she came up with the idea of these fun meetings. So we've done things like pumpkin carving, gingerbread house making, decorated our town Christmas tree. We have a FFA tree that we do up on the square every year. We do a family Thanksgiving, which started my first year and has just continued to grow. The night before Thanksgiving, we get together. I usually will smoke a turkey and officers will put together a meal and then we'll feed the FFA as a group. We have Madden tournaments. We watch football games. We then go and support Tri-County Athletics, the boys basketball team, at the turkey tournament later in the evening. So this year, I think we took close to 15 or 20 students over to the game to create a cheer section for the game. So we're really trying to incorporate kids outside of the club to see that, hey, this isn't anymore just about being a farmer. It's a lot more well-rounded than just being a farmer. And anybody that wants to lead has a spot here. We're really trying to get everybody involved and find everybody a spot inside of our club. Unfortunately, sometimes there are students that fall through the cracks, and my goal is to make sure those students that feel like they have no place have a place in my room, and that we are a family. We can do things, as you've seen being here this afternoon. We get along. We act like siblings. We joke around with one another. We're creating a camaraderie that my hopes is in 10 to 15 years, they look back and say, you know what? I really loved being in the ag room. Or even while they're in high school, I'm having a tough day, but I know I can go down to the ag room and decompress and have a place of home and safe place. And that's my goal in the classroom. Previously, I had worked for Farm Credit. And so I stepped away from Farm Credit to come and work here at the school, my home high school. I wanted to bring that spirit back to this end of the building.
There's a lot to unpack there. And I know that we'll probably not all get to it today. That's the nice thing about having a podcast. You can just have as many episodes as you want. But I think I hear a lot of FFA chapters talk about this. They want to be more inclusive. They want to make sure that the folks that are involved know that it's not just ag related, that it's community related. And so that way, because the ag industry is so wide open right now with opportunities for folks and getting them to understand that. Plus, it's where your food comes from. It's hard not to get excited about food and the outcome of it. And if folks can get a little bit more excited about that aspect and what is going on within their community, they're more likely to stay. They're more likely to get involved and find that hook for them.
Yeah, and that's what we truly want. We want everybody to come in as a group. We've started raising chickens, and my FFA officers all summer get to come in and do chores. So it's teaching them work ethic on top of like, hey, I can't make it today. And then they have to find somebody to cover them. So doing that, the chickens have brought some fun. And then that also allows the community to hop in. We do our egg sales. We are all quote unquote farm raised here out of the ag room, raised them from chicks all the way up. And we're laying close to probably 7 or 8 dozen eggs a week. And so we have those for sale. We're actually getting ready. We put some of our own eggs from our coop into the incubator, and they should be hatching on Monday or Tuesday. And we put 120 in there, but we're going to see where that comes, because we've had just, they say the industry average is in between 45 and 50% of a hatch rate. So if we get that, we got 60, and then natural selection eliminates some others. So and then we get it down to 30, and our chickens are getting into that 3-year mark. And so we would like to start seeing replacement hens coming in, replacement roosters coming in. We do have some connections within the area, not necessarily in our community, but within the area, that they want an older layer or an older mature rooster or something like that. And then they make a donation back to the FFA. The money then from the eggs also goes into providing some jackets for students that can't afford one, or potentially paying half of a student's way to nationals or state convention. And so it really is a big group effort. Even though they'll get tired of me from being around me all the time, they've really stepped up, and I like what we've built here at Oakland.
And you got to remember, you can't outgrow what your blueprint is, and you want to make sure that the folks that are involved, they're happy. If they're happy, they're going to build it on their own. It's about creating that camaraderie and that unit and that trust that what you're doing is going in the right direction. With the 100-year anniversary of FFA just around the corner in a couple of years, you know, one have a situation that the younger folks can kind of come in and eventually replace Rachel and Dakota. They'll end up becoming alumni themselves, and you're going to also build that alumni association up. And whenever you're able to do that, that's whenever you can really have a thriving chapter, because you're getting it not only the money side of it that helps fund what you need to do, but then you have the student involvement, and you're talking about generational stability within the chapter and within the area. And we always love talking with the folks at the smaller community FFA chapters, because I know that that's something that we talked about with Kansas. We've talked about with a couple of other ones where at a lot of these smaller schools, the FFA is the identity, especially if you're co-oping with other sports where you're having two or three schools coming together for sports. You lose some of that identity. The FFA chapter is the core identity for that school in a lot of instances.
Yeah. And also being a football coach, I can kind of see that, where I've got all the kids coming from three different schools. But like I always say, I have three biological children and 80 some other children. And this is, when my students walk out in the community, I want them, somebody to say, hey, that's one of Mr. Turner's students. And having even the younger kids, like my daughter who just peeked her head up through the window in the building, they recognize like, hey, the FFA is here. The FFA is doing things like our petting zoo, where they get to come in and experience it on the real level rather than from just a high above view.
Absolutely. Well, let's dive into that here before we get wrapped up. You have FFA week rolling on. What are you guys all doing for FFA week? What are some of the fun activities that you have planned for the school? And then we'll also talk a little bit more about egg sales and the banquet.
Yeah, so we have dress-up days all week to get the students involved, even if they're not participating in an activity. And then throughout the week, we have multiple things, like a teacher luncheon, which recognizes our staff and faculty and the teachers. And then we have the petting zoo, where we have all the animals down here. But then we also have Ag in the Classroom and Ag Safety, where the elementary students can learn more about FFA and like the ag part about it. And then we have Ag Olympics, which is for the high schoolers. So students really love getting out of class, so we like to include that. But it also, we throw in like a hay bale toss or a flip the tire, which really, it shows like work you can do on the farm while also having fun.
How good are you at a flipping a tire or a hay bale toss?
I am not that good. I have worked to be better, but I'm not that good.
It's good to recognize both your strengths and weaknesses and identify where you can improve, but at least it's humorous, right?
Mm-hmm. It's very funny. We have showmanship. So we have students, like, they get blindfolded, they act like a pig or a cow, and they walk, and then someone's like showing them around, and that one's hilarious.
Very good. So you got that coming up here. It sounds like it's going to be a great week here and draws people closer with that may not necessarily be an FFA to your chapter throughout the week. We've mentioned egg sales. You have banquet around the corner too. And unfortunately for you, that means kind of a turning of the page, so to speak. What's that going to be like for you?
Very emotional. My vice president, I've been with her my whole FFA career. So we're both going to be bawling our eyes out. But it's also going to be like, as you said, a turning page. I'm very confident in my next steps. So I'm very excited, but it's also going to be very sad.
Absolutely. How about for you?
My next year, I plan to try and be an officer again, and I just want to stay involved and hopefully have someone else to take Rachel's spot, keep me on my toes.
Well, it sounds like you've got a good blueprint here, and you've, I'm sure, are along the way gathering some ideas of things that you would like to implement while you're possibly a higher up officer.
Yeah, I just love the involvement that we've got, and I hope that as each year goes by, that just keeps growing and growing.
Absolutely. And there again, Nick, in a short amount of time, you keep getting those numbers as a coach, as a teacher, and as an advisor. You see the power of recruitment and getting people interested early on. And of course, retention is always something that everybody deals with, and trying to make sure that they can stay interested for the long run and stay involved despite of everything else going on. That's the one thing we know about high schoolers. They stay over involved. Do you have a junior high component to FFA? Are you starting at the junior high level, or is it really kind of stuck to the high school classes here?
So we've here in the last 2 years started an eighth grade quote unquote chapter. They're still under our charter, but they are starting to step in, get involved. I get them for a quarter a year. And so what they do is they divide them into four groups. Each of them get a quarter, and then they kind of work their way on up. But in that quarter, they get to learn the FFA creed. And that kind of gives them that foundation, like, okay, this is what FFA is. This is what agriculture is. This is what the next 4 years could look like. And I've noticed it with two girls in particular that are standing next to me, the creed does shatter a shell. It will make you get outside that comfort zone. And when they're forced to do it, it really kind of opens them up. And we've really seen kids flourish from before they took the class their eighth grade year until walking into their freshman year. Kids that probably didn't necessarily have that strong of a voice, some of them now have a very strong voice. And it's really a cool opportunity. So they get to be involved in some of our CDEs. They get to be involved in FFA week. They get to purchase their jacket. And then I get to know them before they get to high school. And then once they get to high school for their freshman year, they get the opportunity to go to national convention. And so having that year before allows me to know them, but then sets them up for 4 years of success. And I've kind of come to understand who they are. That way I can set them up for 4 years of success. And so it's a slow turning thing. I would love sixth through eighth, but I am one feller, and sixth through eighth is awesome in and of itself, but we almost need somebody else to hopefully step up here in the next 4 to 5 years that can come back and step in to be a junior high specialty. I love my ag sciences. My co-teacher, Jesse Goldsberry, fantastic in industrial arts and all of that. And so I love to look at the business and science side. He does more of the hands-on side, and I would love to somebody that is good with getting kids excited to step into that junior high role if we ever get the opportunity to have that junior high role. But we are started with eighth grade as of now. Would love to expand. Obviously, I would always love to expand and get anybody and everybody that wants the opportunity to have that opportunity.
Well, it sounds like the vision is there, so now it's just implementation, and that will definitely come in time. Before we wrap up, presence that you have on social media, folks that want to reach out, maybe learn a little bit more about your chapter, maybe ways of donating. Of course, you're going to want to get folks interested in that egg sale, so that will be something that's unique. I haven't heard of too many other chapters doing egg sales. It's usually something else, but I tell you, if you support a lot of different chapters, you could have an entire buffet before it's said and done. But what's the best ways for folks to reach out and get more information?
We have a Facebook, an Instagram, and a TikTok that people can go look at and find information on there. We mainly post on our Facebook. Most of the stuff just gets passed down then to the Instagram, and then our fun videos usually are on TikTok.
I was going to ask, there's, I'm sure, some videos, some interesting things, maybe you with the chicken?
I don't know. Is there any chicken videos?
There's no chicken videos, but we do have a video of official dress, which we had our Intro to Ag Kids do. It was this whole project, and it's really funny. I'm in it, so that makes it even funnier, but I'm glad they had that opportunity because it kind of gives them more interest in doing projects if they get to be posted on TikTok.
It's very student-led, so my whole objective is to make this what it truly is, and student ran, student owned, and it really has kind of stepped into that. I step back and I let the kids run it, and I think them having ownership in it has really made them invest more into it because they get to see the fruits of their labor from that. And so it's really cool to watch them take all of that together and be truly student led.
Well, and it's an element that I think your generation, and even definitely as far back as my generation, that element that they didn't have is that portal to the outside world, beyond your physical community, to make the world a little smaller. And we talked a little bit about that off air too, about the connections that we all have and how small the world really is. Well, I thank you for welcoming in your school, and definitely looking forward to coming back at some point in time and learn more about Oakland's FFA chapter and all the things that you guys are doing and implementing here. We didn't even get into the point that you're tidying up here, so by the time I come back here, I'm sure it's going to look a lot different at your shop here.
Yeah, we try to continually make changes, make investments in the students, and continue to grow. So, like you said, by the next time you stop back in, it will look different because Jesse and I, we really strive to keep things moving.
It's all about evolving. Nick, I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Dakota, great meeting you. All the best to you, and I'm sure we'll probably circle back around next year.
Yeah, thank you. It was good meeting you.
Excellent. And for Rachel, all the best to you at Oklahoma State and the rest of your senior year.
Thank you. It was nice meeting you.
This has been the Farm Forward Podcast in the Oakland High School chapter of FFA. For more podcasts, check out WITYradio.com under our Farm Forward page. I'm Chad Baker.